Welcome to our monthly legal podcast with Missouri Press Association Hotline Attorney Gene Manicky. This is Dawn Kitchell, Education Director for Missouri Press, and today Gene is going to delve into the Missouri Sunshine Law with her guest Ron Holliger, General Counsel for the Missouri Attorney General's Office. Ron retired from the Missouri Court of Appeals, where he was a Western District Judge. He previously served as a circuit judge and juvenile judge, both in the Jackson County Circuit Court. He worked in private practice from 1973 until 1994. We're honored to have Ron with us today. Each month, Missouri Press provides a new legal podcast on issues important to Missouri's newspapers. If you have further questions about topics covered in these podcasts or any newspaper-related legal questions, Gene is available to give advice to active members of the Missouri Press Association at no charge. At the end of this program, we'll provide contact information for Gene, and you can always find that information on our website, www.mopress.com. Gene Manicky has served as the Missouri Press legal hotline attorney since 1992. Her firm, the Manicky Law Group, is based in Kansas City, Missouri. Now, on to the Sunshine Law with Gene and Ron.
Ron, it's so great to have you here today. I'm looking forward to having this discussion to talk about Attorney General Chris Koster's office and the Sunshine Law. His office is so critical to all of us who deal with the Sunshine Law day in and day out. To begin with, would you like to talk a little bit about his philosophy on the Sunshine Law and some of the goals in your office?
Yes, the Attorney General is a strong supporter of the Sunshine Law, and particularly the importance of public meetings and openness in government. Likewise, with regard to the disclosure of records of Sunshine Law, but we are a recipient of Sunshine requests. We get many of those ourselves. And as we discussed earlier, one of the things that amazed me when I came to work in the Attorney General's office was the number of requests, not counting the time that I might spend on them or secretarial or staff time. Between complaints and requests of our own office, we spend close to an average of 2 full-time lawyers per month. We've got that divided up between 4 people, but so it takes a considerable amount of time, but it is an important issue because it's a matter of public trust, and the Attorney General very much believes that the government will trust or tends to trust actions, even if they dislike them or disagree with them. They are more accepting of them if they are breached in public and with no attempt to conceal what's going on.
And actually, your office has taken a step to try to increase the training that is done in terms of Sunshine Law, correct?
That's correct. One of the people in our public information office is spending a considerable amount of time going out and educating public bodies and anyone else interested as well. And what the requirements are and the expectations under the Sunshine Law. The Attorney General has set a goal for him to visit all 114 counties and plus the city of St. Louis in this calendar year. And I don't know if he's going to make it. That's a considerable task since that involves 2 counties per day, but we're going to shoot for it. And the ones we don't make this year will be on the agenda January 2nd next year.
Have you gotten any feedback that you're aware of in terms of how Tom's programs are going?
From what I understand, it's Tom Durkin that does these. From what I understand, they have been well accepted. There are, as you well know, there are always some people that have some reservations in some areas about compliance with the Sunshine Law. But on the whole, I think that they've been well accepted.
That's good. That's really good.
Most of the violations seemingly come out of ignorance. There are some that are just out of, well, be nice and call it stubbornness, but many of them come down purely out of ignorance. It is sometimes a difficult law to understand in some of its implications. We also intend on, we will revise sometime and reissue a more up-to-date, not with huge changes, but a more up-to-date of version of the Missouri Sunshine Law booklet, which has been published by the Attorney General's office for some years.
That's right. As a matter of fact, I know there's a new exception that if it gets signed by the governor will come into being in late August, so I would imagine you probably will need to redo the book at that point. You mentioned, too, to me a little earlier that there have been a lot of inquiries to the Attorney General's office in terms of would you take the role of producing certain records of public bodies where the requester is having trouble getting them? Do you want to talk a little bit about your position on those kinds of matters?
Well, those really take two forms. There is the form that you described where we're asked to assist. We can do two things with one of those. If they have been unable to get an adequate response, we can treat that as a complaint and then initiate whatever actions we take under complaints.
And that's like a lawsuit you're talking?
Well, it may ultimately resolve in a lawsuit. Frankly, one of the things we try to do is resolve it short of a lawsuit. A lawsuit may impose some penalty on the public official who violated the Sunshine Law. That may occur 6 months, a year down the road, and that doesn't help the person that wants records or information to get those records today or tomorrow. In virtually all situations, we try to make contact with the public body and try to convince them that it's not only the law, but it's just good public policy for them to work with the individual and supply the records. Sometimes miscommunication may be the cause of the failure to do it. Sometimes disputes over fees may be part of the reason they haven't produced their records. But we try to get them to do it voluntarily at first because it makes it that much quicker. The second class that we talked about in that regard is, back to the first class again. What we may do in some situations, we have in a few situations, and I don't want to, we have one right now, but I don't want to talk about that at this point, is we may make a request on our own and for the same records. And because we're properly authorized to make Sunshine requests ourselves.
Sure, you're a member of the public.
Yeah, so we may make one ourselves to try to get the records. That we don't do that as on a routine basis. Normally we try to get the governmental body to produce them voluntarily. The second category is a little more difficult to deal with, and we fortunately don't get too many of these, but it's not an insignificant number as well. It's the people who don't really understand or know the law well enough to know that they have to make a request to each agency or governmental body that may have a record of the type that they are requesting. We received one recently where the person wanted a record of, or wanted us to get for them, obtain for them, every record concerning some type of investigation of this person. I never was clear as to what it was. Which, of course, our response had to be that we can only produce and are only, well, we're only obligated to produce and only can produce that which we have in our possession. So what we do frequently in those situations, and there's a fair number of those, is try to tell the person what agencies they might want to contact for this. They might have to contact the Highway Patrol for something else, a local sheriff, that type of thing.
Okay. Ron, in this next segment, I want to talk a little about issues that relate to county commissioners. That's one of the most difficult bodies to deal with the Sunshine Law, it seems to me, having looked at this for a number of years, because it's a three-member body. Is that your perception, too?
It is, because, of course, the Sunshine Law says that any time a quorum of a body is together, if they discuss public business, one, there have to be minutes and a record kept, and two, it's subject to the notice requirements. They have to give notice to the public and an opportunity for them to be present. I suppose even if they were to talk about something that is covered by one of the exceptions to the Sunshine Law, they technically should be required to give notice that they're going to have a closed meeting. Some of those occur intentionally. I think there was one where the Kansas City Star even maybe brought a suit some years ago where there was an intentional away meeting. I think it was a retreat at the lake, wasn't it? Some of them, and it's the particularly difficulty with county commissioners, if two of them have lunch together, there is an opportunity for them to violate the Sunshine Law.
Or I've even said if they meet on the street corner walking to the courthouse.
And say something to each other, there's an opportunity.
It's a struggle.
It is a difficult thing because just... And it's difficult to say. In the public's perception, sometimes if they see the two talking, well, they must be talking about public business. They may not be. So that's one of the most difficult areas to enforce. And I know the legislature at various times when they've looked at reforms has considered that, but I don't think anyone can think of a good way to make
a solution,
but you can't have a rule that says they can never talk to each other.
So what do you recommend to them when you advise them?
Don't act secretive.
And just be cautious about it.
And just be cautious and be certain that they don't talk about public business.
Right, absolutely.
And if it passes, something in passing, disclose it. I think that would be a good practice is when you start your open session, your regular meeting session, is to say that Joe and I ran into each other and we talked a little bit about the engineering contract that was coming up this week. Of course, some may be reluctant to do that, considering that maybe that's a confession they violated the Sunshine Law.
That is a problem.
So that is the most difficult area, I think, to enforce.
While we're talking about county commissioners, one of the problems that we see, the media sees on a rather frequent basis, is a public body announcing that they're going to have a closed meeting, and they will say that they're closing the meeting under exceptions 1 through 21 in the law. Now, I know that the statute talks in terms of when you notice up a closed meeting and when you vote to go into closed session, you need to cite the specific exception that gives rise to being able to close the meeting. Do you know if the Attorney General's office has any thoughts on using those blanket exceptions? Would you view those as being a proper use of the Sunshine Law exceptions to hold a closed meeting?
No, I think the intent is you specify the particular exception. If you list all the exceptions, A through whatever the number is, A through Z, then you should have 26 different topics that are properly subject to the closed meeting rule. Because clearly the contemplation of the statute is that the citation of the exception is going to give some indication to the public as to what may be discussed. Even better than just the statutory section or citing that is to just a word or two that indicates. I can't recall the exact number, but cite the subsection of the statute. Well, I'll use the one on litigation, 6110(1) or something like that,
uh-huh.
And put litigation or personnel or real estate matter or to actually put a short verbal description of that.
Sure. And that would then allow you to hold the closed meeting and to talk about that specific subject.
Right. The purpose of the exemptions is not to hide things from the public. The Sunshine Law doesn't require anything to be closed from the public.
Right.
It permits certain things to be closed, but doesn't require anything. There are some things, obviously, that most people would agree shouldn't be discussed in a public forum, like personnel matters concerning a particular employee or discipline of that employee. The fact that the body may be wanting to make a bid on a piece of real estate a month from now and somebody else could jump in and top their price a little bit, or that there's a litigation decision that needs to be made that could give advantage to the other party if it was disclosed too early. So they are legitimate reasons, most would agree, but if there is no strict reason for it to... and legitimate reason, then there's no reason why even topics that can be exceptions can't be discussed in public.
Sure. Ron, let's talk this segment a little bit about records. Sometimes a public body will pass an ordinance that sets up certain certain fees for search time and certain costs for producing copies. And often those ordinances are totally different than the state statutes and the provisions in the Sunshine Law about 10 cents a copy and about search time being the cost of the cheapest employee on the staff who can do the work. Do you have a thought to offer our listeners about whether a city can, by ordinance, change the state statutes for Sunshine Law?
Yeah, there's no case or opinion on this, but I think it's subject to the same principle that applies otherwise in the law, that a city can pass a law that is less stringent than state law, but not more stringent. So if they passed a city law and said 5 cents a copy and and $2 an hour, they can do that. But they can't pass a law that conflicts with the state law, and the state law sets those as the maximum charges that can be made.
Do you have some thoughts about access to records under the Sunshine Law that you would like to talk about in that regard?
One commonly made misconception about the Sunshine Law is that it deals with what records have to be maintained and made available to the public. It deals with which ones have to be made to the public, but it doesn't deal with which ones have to be maintained. That's covered by separate provisions in Missouri law. There are records retention laws. Each state agency is required to have a records retention policy, and the Secretary of State has some broad records retention policies, and I suspect many people, perhaps even most journalists, have never gone and looked at what the state Secretary of State says the records retention policy is that has to be followed.
And the key here is the issue is what's retained by the public body. Right?
That's right. And that is a totally different concept than what is produced. Now, the Sunshine Law, because the Sunshine Law itself says that it creates certain exceptions and then says, and any other exceptions that may exist by law.
Right.
And I can give you a good example of one that just really applies within our office. There's a provision in Chapter 407, which is the Consumer Protection Act in Missouri, that allows the Attorney General to issue a civil investigative demand called a CID to companies asking them to produce records and information concerning what we think may possibly be a fraud or a consumer violation. But the law also says that we cannot release those to the public.
Mm-hmm.
The documents we receive according to that. Sure. If we ultimately file suit and we obtain them, then we can. So there are lots of various provisions, I say lots, there are various other provisions or in other sections of the statute that deal with privacy or non-public access to or public access to particular documents at a particular time. For example, criminal records can only certain things produced at one stage in the criminal proceeding a lot broader at the end of the criminal proceeding than if it results in no criminal charges, then it becomes a closed record, nothing. So theoretically, for example, if someone's on a suspended imposition of sentence, you can get everything or virtually everything between the date they're placed on a suspended imposition of sentence and the date they complete their probation. After they complete your probation, you can't get any of it.
That's right.
Even though you could get it all the day before. So there are those distinctions to be made. So whether emails have to be retained or drafts of things, any of those things, are not really a matter of the Sunshine Law, but a matter of other particular laws.
Well, I really appreciate you being with us today, and I think we've covered some interesting subjects, and I hope our listeners have enjoyed our conversation. We're looking forward to seeing what comes out of Attorney General Koster's office in the next few years, and know that we're going to be really excited by the things that we're seeing Tom Durkin do. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Thanks to Ron Holliger, General Counsel for the Missouri Attorney General's Office, and Missouri Press Association Legal Hotline Attorney Gene Manicky for sharing important information today on Missouri Sunshine Law. A valuable benefit of membership in the Missouri Press Association is legal hotline services. Active members may contact Gene directly for advice and answers to legal issues. Gene can be reached by telephone at 816-753-9000 or by email at jmanicky@manickylaw.com. You can find this contact information anytime on the Missouri Press Association website at www.mopress.com. The website also provides links to Gene's blog and current and back issues of the Missouri Press News Magazine, which features a monthly column by Gene. This is Dawn Kitchell, and I hope you'll join us for the next legal podcast from the Missouri Press Foundation.